From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. A year and a half ago, the West African nation of Liberia was in chaos. Its capital, Monrovia, the scene of warfare, starvation, and little hope of anything better. Today, it is home to the United Nations' largest peacekeeping force, and there are elections scheduled for this coming October. But many say it is still on the edge of chaos. Jacques Klein is a retired U.S. diplomat and Air Force officer who is the U.N. Special Representative in Liberia. He says the country is on the mend.
When I got to Liberia in July of 2003, we had a city of 1,400,000 people. Paranoia, claustrophobia, malnutrition, absolute chaos. We stabilized it. Since that time, we've disarmed 101,000 ex-combatants. That means we take their weapon, we annotate the serial number, we grind it up, we turn it into, literally, pulp, and that's turned over to a businessman who makes out of it size, wheelbarrows. It's really swords into plowshares. So that's been done. Our crime rate, very candidly, is lower than Washington, D.C.'s. What we have is 85% unemployment, 25% literacy among women, 47% among men. We have no real economy of any sort yet. So the structural problems of a failed state are still very much there.
Is Liberia actually within 6 or 7 months of having a fair and free election?
We will have a fair and free election. I mean, numerously, you can always say there's an old maxim. Joseph Stalin said it doesn't matter who votes, it's who counts the votes that matters. So if you have an honest count, we'll have a free and fair election. Our dilemma right now is we have about 41 political candidates for president. We have 18 political parties. We have to winnow those down to some reasonable number. But more importantly, it isn't just having an election. What is it they're voting for? How do they see the future of Liberia? 24 years of murder, mayhem, chaos, impunity, and no one has ever been indicted, charged, tried or convicted for any crime.
Well, one question concerns Charles Taylor, who was a Liberian warlord turned president, who is charged with crimes against humanity for what he did in Sierra Leone, a neighboring country, and yet he seems to be enjoying exile and apparent asylum in Nigeria. How important is it to Liberia that Mr. Taylor stand trial?
I think it's very important because he is a cloud that hangs over much of what we do. In other words, Charles Taylor is a psychopath and a killer. Secondly, we can't have the culture of impunity continue. He's still very much involved. He's intrusive in Liberian politics. And my concern is the mandate of the court expires at the end of the year. The warrant expires at the end of the year. And he really has to be brought to justice because his people in Monrovia and in Liberia say, we know we have no future in Liberian politics unless Charles Taylor returns. We have to make sure he doesn't return.
I want to hear from you about your thoughts on the evolution of Liberia. Let me put it to you this way. As UN Special Representative there, you've been called the most powerful man in Liberia. You have a 15,000-man peacekeeping force. I gather they're mostly Bangladeshi, and they seem to have done a better job of establishing order than any Liberians did over the previous 15 years. You have a bigger budget than the Liberian government. What's in it for Liberians to see their sovereignty restored? Why shouldn't they remain a UN trusteeship where things are going so much better for them with you running the place than with Liberian politicians returning to
it? I think pride. I think, you see, you have 450,000 Liberians in the U.S. and Canada. There's a very strong, highly educated elite in Liberia who are appalled by what's happened to their country over the past 24 years. Now, our job basically is to advise, to assist. Now, what is it we do? We feed every day 600,000 Liberians. We've just immunized 970,000 children against polio, 1,200,000 against measles. I don't want to get in a lot of statistics, but our goal is to actually give the people of Liberia, for the first time in a quarter of a century, the opportunity to define their own destiny, to actually choose their own leadership.
I assume that the elites would feel that way. Do you think, though, that if you asked the entire population of Liberia, which one would you prefer, a continued, open-ended United Nations presence or the restoration of Liberian government as you've known it in your lifetime, don't you think you'd get a good slice of that support there for the UN?
You have a good mix. I mean, senior officials have said to me, at least in this case now, why didn't you do a transitional administration? Mm-hmm. Why didn't you do a trusteeships? But you couldn't. That would have been colonialism, recidivism. In other words, how could one of two nations in Africa that was never colonized outside of Ethiopia suddenly become a trusteeship or a transition administration? So the decision was made that we would provide aid, assistance, support, find new leadership in Liberia. And we haven't talked about the immense resources. Liberia's gold reserves are not as great as the Ashanti fields in Ghana, but close. Mm-hmm. We have five diamond pipes, substantial. We have 8.5 million rubber trees. 85% of the arable land is not utilized. And I think the people of Liberia, for the first time, are looking and saying, is this our opportunity at last to take our destiny in our own hands? And that's what we're trying to give them.
Jacques-Paul Klein, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Jacques Klein is the Special Representative of the United Nations Secretary General in Liberia.